Big play for the Rebel defense. Now back to pass. Linhart looking, throwing over the middle. His pass is intercepted by the Rebels. Intercepted. 30, 25, 20. Down to the 10, inside the 10, to the 9-yard line. A 21-yard interception return by Chauncey Chisholm out of Syracuse.
One of the many highlights in UNLV's win in Idaho yesterday. And we will talk a little bit about the game. But today is all about week one in the National Football League. And I don't know about you, Mags, but I'm jacked up right now. Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman, and we are here every Sunday from 8 to 9 on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM at 1340 AM, the official home of the Vegas Golden Knights. We're also streaming live on lvesportsnetwork.com. The Twitter handle is Out of Line, 1340 AM. And you can find us on Facebook. The page is called Out of Line. That's O-U-T-T-A-L-I-N-E. Back in studio today, as I just mentioned, after a two-week hiatus in the Philippines, is future Lotus Broadcasting Hall of Fame producer Magnum. Welcome back, Mags. Was the trip back to your second home everything you'd hoped it would be?
Well, I spent about a week in the Philippines and 8 days in Taiwan, and it was a lot of fun. I had a good time, got to see a lot of really good friends, and have a little fun. You know, it was the first time I've been in the Philippines as a single guy, and, you know, if you've ever heard the stories, I could definitely say that it's a fun place to be a single foreigner, we'll put it that way, and had a good time. I mean, it is kind of like a home away from home for me. Every time I go there, I mean, I spent about 6 months in the Philippines previously, and I have a special place I stay, and it's a great condo. Everyone there knows me, so you know, it's like when I go there, it's like, hey, how you doing, Chris? You know, long time, you know, and it's fun. Got to see a lot of friends, and it was a good time. Very excited. Week one in the NFL. If you're a Jets fan like myself, you obviously don't have a whole lot to be excited about. But we'll get to that, I guess.
We will get to it. And I wanted to let you know I was keeping track. Four times you said fun and twice good time. I was expecting like six more funs, to tell you the truth.
Well,
I was jacked about writing down and keeping track of how many times you said fun. Because
I can't really go into details. But like I said, it's a fun place for a single foreign guy.
All I can say is you can't see Magnum right now, but I've never seen the smile stretch that far. It's literally very close to sideburn right now.
Sideburn to sideburn.
It's pretty good, man. I
do got the mutton chops.
Oh, it's a good thing. Yeah, just about the corner of your lip is getting pretty close to the sideburn. I like it. Hey, listen, of course, without you, there's no show. So although we do have a full lineup this morning, if you have something on your mind, give Magnum a call, turn down your radio, and say what you got to say. The Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University. What a weekend it has been and will continue to be. Yesterday, two Americans not named Williams played in the U.S. Open Women's Championship for the first time in over 30 years. Plus, in college football, around these parts, we know UNLV won, as I mentioned a minute ago, and Ohio State got beat. But today is all about the National Football League. Today's guest, Super Bowl hero Mike Jones, Super Bowl 34 in the Georgia Dome against the Tennessee Titans, and Todd Dewey, who covers sports betting for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. If you're placing bets today, you might want to hear what Dew has to say. They got a really good podcast that they play on. I don't know if you'd call it a podcast or a stream that goes on the Las Vegas Review-Journal's website, but it is really cool. We'll talk about that in a little bit as well. Plus, you'll hear Blazin, Fact This, and you'll have a chance to win things. Everyone on today's show, by the way, Mags, including you, will be giving me a pick that is guaranteed not to lose if you don't bet. How do you like that?
Well, I did pretty good last year. I think I
you did really good. Did you catch my spin on that?
Oh yeah,
it's
yeah,
guaranteed
yeah.
not to lose if you don't bet.
Yeah.
That's right. You can't lose. Listen, right now I mentioned we're going to give something away. We're going to give away a Bubby's University $25 certificate. Bubby was actually going to be on the show to do What's on Tap. Hope Brad gets well out there. He woke up with a sore throat, so I have no problem holding the reins. But right now, it can be used for food and alcohol. It's valued at $25. It is a great place to go for football, I'm telling you. And all you have to do is be the first caller right now at 702-876-1340. It's that simple. Give me a call, and you can win yourself a $25 certificate to Bubby's University. Pretty darn cool. On tap at Bubby's University, earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff, where the only majors are mayhem and good times. Bring your Rebel ID, and your first beer is free. You can roll 24 hours a day. Yes, that means they never close. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai, between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbysuniversity.com. for more information. Well, Mags, we got to at least spend a second on this. UNLV avenged the loss from last year to Idaho. They win a road game in a place that could have been tough, especially after what happened to them last week against Howard. I mean, the defense definitely played better. You heard the interception at the beginning by Chisholm. First-year defensive back for UNLV. He's a senior transfer from Syracuse. That was one big play. Lexington Thomas had himself a game. Armani Rogers, I would say, played consistently fairly well. The defense played really well, but they were playing Idaho. And, wow, man, I didn't expect Ohio State to lose to Oklahoma at home and have the javelin, basically, of Oklahoma's flag stuffed by Baker Mayfield in the middle of the field in the logo of Ohio State.
I love it.
Well, you know why I don't? It. Mags, why I don't love it? In 2 weeks, the Rebels go there. And,
well,
I mean, I'm worried a lot of these guys might not come home, that they're going to get hurt. That is going to be a tall order. You don't want to go into a bear that's been kicked and stabbed.
Well, the good news for the Rebels is that, sorry, my, I hate to do that, but the good news for the Rebels is the fact that they will not be the next team that Ohio State plays. That will be the United States Military Academy at West Point, who travel to the Horseshoe next weekend, where they will undoubtedly face the wrath of Urban Meyer and the Ohio State Buckeyes. So the good news for the Rebels is they're not going to be that team that Ohio State plays
off
of. Not
next, but Mags, it doesn't matter.
No,
They can't lose. Now they can't lose a game. They have to sweep the Big Ten, win the Big Ten championship, and win every game. And the next two opponents are stompable. Well, Air Force UNLV are stompable.
They are. Army is certainly stompable. And I don't think the Rebels are.
Yeah.
I think the Rebels, you know what?
Ugh.
I was on the pregame show yesterday with Joe Arrigo. We were down at Born and Raised to do the pregame show. And what I said yesterday was, look, they did exactly what I said they needed to do. They put last week behind them. They came out. They were pissed off. They were angry. And they obviously had a really good week of practice. And you could tell. Now, that first drive, they were a little tentative. You know, you had the penalty.
Defensively, they played well in the first half. Offensively, I was shocked that they didn't come out more on fire.
This was a team, Idaho, who returned Duckworth, who ran for almost 100 yards against them last year. And they returned Linehan, who was their starting quarterback.
True.
And they had won 6 games in a row. They won 9 games last year. So they weren't a bad opponent. I thought the Rebels were better on paper, and you could see the domination in the offensive line by UNLV. That's really where the Rebels won the game, which is one of my focal points yesterday. I said, look, this is a team, because with Idaho, they're dropping down to a lower division next year. So obviously the recruiting has been hurt, and where it was hurt the most was along the lines. And this was a game where UNLV could dominate.
In the trenches.
They did. Their offense, UNLV's offensive line is very underrated.
Well, Max, four of those guys are returning starters. The only guy they're missing is Will Kreitler, the center from last year. And the guy I interviewed last week, you didn't hear, I talked to Singer, the guy who replaced him last week, and he was terrified to go in the locker room after the game.
Well, you know,
I wouldn't want to go in the locker room after the game either.
I think the Howard game, it was disappointing. There's no doubt about that. But they responded, and like I said yesterday, the thing is, Tony Sanchez has done such a good job at UNLV that we have expectations. We're not apathetic anymore towards this program. When I got home, and when I was on social media last week, I was in Taipei when they lost that game to Howard. The reaction I saw on social media wasn't apathy. People were pissed off. People were angry. And I've been here almost 20 years.
You know, the only people that weren't angry were the people that had the wherewithal before they took it off the board to take Howard in the money line.
Well,
do you know what the money line paid?
Yeah, it was like $55,000.
No, a $10 bet paid $7,100. A $100 bet paid $71,000.
Well, I don't know how many people bet Howard on the money line.
Mads, I saw a couple people celebrating Howard. If you put $20 on the game, you won $14,000.
But the point is, people have expectations of this program now. It's not like, oh, UNLV, okay. People are expecting UNLV to win games. People, I expected, and this is different from Bobby Houck, from Mike Sanford. Those two guys, UNLV yesterday, if they're coaching the team, they lose to Idaho.
I'm a Tony Sanchez fan, okay?
I think the thing is, we as a city and as a community, we have expectations of Tony Sanchez and the UNLV football program, which is not something we've had since John Robinson.
Megs, especially now. I mean, the bottom line is we've got an NFL team coming. They're building an NFL team stadium that more or less, what I'm understanding, UNLV is going to play there. It's not going to be their stadium, but they're going to get an opportunity to play some games there. Fertitta's putting a ton of money into a weight room for UNLV that now they can compete with the other teams in their conference.
They're going to be breaking ground by the end of the fall.
Right. So my point is, there are expectations. Yes. You should be able to recruit. Guys like Armani Rogers should start wanting to come here
now. And people who don't know, Armani Rogers was committed to go to Cal.
He was.
And he believed in this program. He believed in Tony Sanchez. Look, UNLV, they're not going to beat Ohio State. I mean, that's a little far-fetched. But San Diego State looks really good. They beat Arizona State last night. But
Max,
outside of San Diego State, I don't think there's a team in the conference that UNLV can't beat.
I don't know. We'll see. Fresno State lost by, 41-10?
Yeah, but
I mean, but Alabama, to put the brakes on, to a degree.
Alabama could have won that game 65-0 if they wanted to.
They could have. I'm not disagreeing with that. But the biggest surprise yesterday, and we can't go without talking about this game, Ohio State losing to Oklahoma. I mean, Oklahoma is no slouch. Baker Mayfield is the real deal. They're a well-coached team, but to go into the Horseshoe in Columbus, Ohio, and win that game is almost unheard of. Urban Meyer, after the game, you know, he said what he could say, but you rarely do you hear Urban Meyer stumble.
Be hard at work tomorrow. We lost the game. Lost the game to a good team. Didn't play very well. Go back to work tomorrow and get better. It's a long season. Long season. And this is when you need, when you blow out a younger team, a smaller team or a team that's not very good, that doesn't see it. We were challenged the first half against Indiana to play very well and play very well in the second half. This game, we didn't play very well. So go back at it. And it's a long, long season.
Max, he sounded like me without my Red Bull on a Sunday morning. I mean, my God in heaven, he was all over the board there. And kind of surprising, you know, like, I mean, what do you say? But you know what? He kept his composure. And a little bit later on, we'll see another coach that didn't keep his composure after a game, couldn't handle the media properly. You and I differ on this situation. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But another guy who really surprises me after the game, Michigan wins their game yesterday over Cincinnati. And Jim Harbaugh, I know you like it. The guy's weird. But when someone asked him, you know, did you have butterflies, nervous? You got done beating Florida. You don't want to have a hangover after a game like that. And this is what Harbaugh said. Make sense of this.
At some point, I mean, it's like me, I'm 53. I mean, it's gone dead. I'm dead in here. It's like burnt wood, you know, in terms of nervousness and butterflies and emotions that way.
Max, you got to save that one. Burnt wood. He's like burnt wood.
Yeah, I like that. It's you know, and we talked about it before the show. I kind of like Jim Harbaugh's quirkiness and weirdness. It's a nice change because it's like you get a little bit of a, I don't want to say personality, but he is a strange dude. And it's a refreshing change from guys like Urban Meyer and Nick Saban, who to me are the most driest, stale, boring guys. You know, the whole Bill Belichick.
Nick Saban is not boring. Nick Saban.
Nick Saban's very dry.
Nick Saban's a jackass half the time. He was actually funny yesterday with some reporter. He said, you know, the reporter said that he saw some sloppiness. Nick Saban says, well, I'll watch the tape. If I see that, maybe we'll hire you.
I like the coaches I like the weird guys. Mike Leach, the Pirate. He's a little bit quirky. You know, the funny thing is, the one time we actually had him on a show that I did, when I called him, he was on a chairlift on a ski resort, and he did an interview going up the chairlift.
That doesn't surprise me at all with that guy.
And I've always liked him. I like Mike Gundy because he's a lunatic. You know, to me, Urban Meyer, he's boring. He's dull. Jim Harbaugh brings a nice change, especially for a major college.
He does, but like I said, you know, it's almost like he gives parables for his answers. It's hilarious, man. But it is, like I said, I don't mind it. It's just, I'm burnt wood.
He's dead inside.
He is dead inside and burnt wood. Somebody who's not burnt wood, I mentioned it in the Open, the U.S. Open tennis tournament going on this week. How cool. Two Americans, as I said. Oh, Max, it's been since 1984, since two American women played in the championship game. You know, it was Tracy Austin and somebody else, wasn't it?
I don't know for sure, but my guess would be Chris Everett.
Chris Everett and Tracy Austin, I think, might have been it back then. You'll have to take a look. But it was 1984 since two women not named Williams was in the U.S. Open final. Cool as hell, but the best was Sloane Stephens, man. She's 24 years old, Mags. She wins this tournament, and afterwards, they're asking her about, you just got to hear this. It's classic, because the check was $3.7 million.
Sloane, I know this is kind of fresh, but having done this once, does it give you a hunger to win another slam, to do this again, feel this feeling again?
Of course, girl. Did you see that check that lady handed me? yes. Man, if that doesn't make you want to play tennis, I don't know what will.
Mags, let me tell you one thing real quickly. The loser got, the loser picked up $1.83 million, and of course, Madison Keys played pretty well. The semifinals losers get $920. This is men and women's; they get paid equally in tennis. And check this out, Mags. If you are the 128th tennis player in the world right now, are you 128th? You lost in the round to 128. You made $50,000 for one tournament. So if you can come in 128th in a couple of tournaments, you're making six figures in tennis. That's not too bad to be the 128th best golfer in the world. If he doesn't cash in one or two tournaments, he's starving.
Yeah.
Tennis, I never knew. Listen, we got to go to break. We will come back on the other side. We've got Mike Jones joining the show. Definitely stick around for that. We also have Todd Dewey coming up in a little while. And Lee Lund, the general manager from Buffalo Wild Wings, is going to be here to talk about Monday night football parties and the 2017 season coming your way. Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, the home of the Vegas Golden Knights. What a lineup we've got going today. Whew. Day week one in the National Football League. And I'll tell you, I went yesterday, Mags, I put some of my bets down. Having some technical difficulties with Mike Jones's phone. Hopefully we will be able to get him clear and get his cell phone working good in a few minutes. In the meantime, we'll go ahead and get Todd Dewey on the phone and take that one first, the Dew Man. But Wild, I'm looking at some of these bets, the over-unders, and I'm lost as far as you know, what's going to happen now after the Patriots, that first game with the Patriots in Kansas City. After seeing that game, I am completely baffled now as to what's going to happen this season as far as over-under wins go. I hate betting the over-under totals. It's so hard to tell. You do that at the beginning of the season, then something happens like it did with the New England Patriots on Thursday night that you just absolutely do not see coming. And I know someone for sure that didn't see that coming is the sports betting reporter for the Las Vegas Review Journal, Todd Dewey. And you got to check this out. You got to go to the website because these are really good. I really like, they're called the Sports Betting Spotlight. They're highlighting the different teams. And this was the highlight that they had for the New England Patriots. I think this was done on September the 8th, Mags. Go ahead and roll this for me.
Putting the spotlight on the New England Patriots, who had the historic comeback to win their fifth Super Bowl in the Brady Belichick era. They went 16-3 against the spread last year, the best spread season ever, tied with the 89-49ers. Their win total this year is 12.5.
They are a historically high favorite this year, 1-20 to win their 14 division. Even money favorite to win the AFC, and just a 3-1 favorite to win the Super Bowl. I can't remember the last time a team opened up 3-1 or less to actually win the Super Bowl. And despite the fact that Julian Edelman's hurt, there's no major upgrades on the defense. Money continues to pour in on the New England Patriots this year.
All right, I'm finishing 14-2.
Yeah, well, that line is up to, according to William Hill, I went yesterday and checked it out. Patriots, 4-1 now, so it went up a little tiny bit. Dude, man, what happened to the Patriots? Super Bowl hangover, or is KC a better team?
I feel like I still have a hangover from that game. Top of the morning to you. Happy NFL Sunday there, Brian. It's glad to wake up and hear that clip.
Hey, I'm just playing what it was.
I don't know what happened to them. I've never seen a Belichick defense. Well, I mean, that was the most points ever given up by a Belichick defense. And I've never seen, you know, the Patriots, they were tops in the league in scoring defense last year, giving up 15.8 a game. And they never have given up big plays like that in the past. I mean, I know Hightower went out with an injury. They lost Ninkovich, but I was really shocked by the defense there. I mean, they made Alex Smith look like the GOAT, not Brady.
No, they did, but I'll tell you what, Dew. You know, we know this. You can't judge it on week one. Belichick, the New England Patriots, believe me, are still going to be there when it's all said and done. They definitely have to shore up a few things. You know, I said a couple of weeks ago, I think this is probably going to be Tom Brady's swan song. Maybe not to retire. It just, the history tells us that physically, at some point, right around 41, the best of us kind of internally implode. It's just physical.
Yeah, that happened to you?
It happened to me. It happens to everybody, right? About that age. Can you imagine playing football, professional football, once you hit 40? I mean, it's amazing. We saw Favre do it. He had one good year, but then you saw the body kind of go on him. It just happens. Brady didn't show any signs of rust towards the end of last year at all. I just said that I think this year will probably take his toll on him, and I really expected him to. My preseason, I've got him in the Super Bowl, just like you do, just like Kelly does, just like Matthew Holt does. Everyone's got him in the Super Bowl.
Well, you know what? It's like overreaction to a lot of things, you know? Like, I overreacted in picking Idaho against UNLV after they lost to Howard as 45-point favorites, and then they, you know, come back and steamroll Idaho on the road. But I mean, I don't think it's a problem with Brady. They put up 27 points, and, you know, most of the time that would be enough to win with a good New England defense.
Well, KC stepped up their defense late in the second half, but it was everyone just expected, you know, even when KC punched a nose in front, everyone expected Brady to come through, and he took a couple of sacks, and it was just surprising. It wasn't Brady-esque at the end of the game, I thought, from a fan's perspective. I'm not saying there's rust or anything. It's game one, and I still think the New England Patriots will be fine, but I think there is competition. It was nice. I thought, I don't know if I want to say it was nice to see. I'm not a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan, but Alex Smith played the best football I've ever seen him play in his life since he was at Utah in college, man.
No kidding. Well, you know, an interesting stat, the last three times the Patriots lost their season opener, they won the Super Bowl.
Well, there you go. Tom Brady, what, going for one more? One more ring won't kill him, right?
Yeah, sure.
I'm sure it would make you happy,
yeah,
as
you know,
well.
That's why the NFL is so great, though, right? You have no idea what's going to happen.
Well, definitely, I want everyone to check out the Sports Better Spotlight. They do it down at the Cosmo Sportsbook is where you did it. You get to see Todd Dewey in a suit, something you don't see very often. And and Kelly looks a little bit like Cam Diaz, so not too bad to look at either. Definitely check it out, though. They did a good job. I really enjoyed it. Dewey, fill us in on any significant moves that you've seen on NFL lines, something that people should be aware of, like that maybe in the last week or so you've seen jump a significant amount.
Well, yeah, there's been a few games where the line has moved quite a bit. You know, the Lions opened up as the favorite in the offseason, and that swung around to Arizona being a favorite at your Detroit Lions there, Brian, on the road. Also, Oakland Raiders opened up as a small favorite. Soon-to-be Vegas Raiders opened up as a small favorite over the Titans, and that swung around with a lot of sharp money on Tennessee, favored by 2.5 now. Also, the Rams Colts game, but that was a huge, like almost a 7th touchdown move from the Colts being favored over the Rams by a couple with Andrew Luck supposed to play. And then once Andrew Luck went down, that swung around and, you know, big steam play on the Rams favored by 4. It just looks crazy to see the Rams favored by 4 over the Colts, but that's where that money's going. And, Also, just around town, the 49ers seem to be a big popular play among sharp bettors as well, getting I think it's down to 4.5 now from Carolina. That was bet almost up to 6, and then now it's dropped back down as a lot of sharp money is coming on the Niners. And people are betting on the Giants getting points from Dallas as well, and then when Elliott back in there, it's creeped back up a little. Dallas by 4.
Well, I've always loved home dogs in early games at the beginning of the season when everyone's pumped up. I think, you know, a home crowd does a lot for a team and can bolster them a bit. And maybe that's what it is with the 49ers, because something stinks about that. Maybe they know more about Cam's health than we do. A game that really surprised me.
I was just going to say, you know, well, they have the new coach, obviously, Kyle Shanahan, after being offensive coordinator with the Falcons. And, you know, but, Brian Hoyer, Pierre Garçon, I don't think that's enough. But apparently, a lot of people think there's a lot of value in that line, taking the Niners at home.
What's your best bet? Do you think your best bet of the weekend is? What do you like?
Carolina, actually, but it kind of scares me all the sharp money is on the Niners. But I think Carolina is ready for a bounce-back season. You know, Cam Newton, you know, they were 15-1, Super Bowl, Cam Newton MVP, and then last year they fell to 6-10, Newton all banged up. And now, you know, Cam Newton's back healthy. They have Christian McCaffrey, who's supposed to be a great back this season in the backfield. You know, he's got Kelvin Benjamin, Greg Olsen. They have a rugged defense led by Luke Kuechly. The Niners had the worst defense in the league last year, giving up 30 points per game. And I could see their offense definitely getting better with Shanahan and some of the pieces, but I don't see the Niners' defense stopping them. I also like the Cardinals, you know, over the Lions. I think, you know, they're also loaded with, you know, the fantasy stud David Johnson, Palmer, you know. Just the Lions don't have much of a pass rush, finish second and last in sacks, and have some defensive guys out. And if you give Carson Palmer time, you know, to find Fitzgerald and Johnson and some of those guys. And Arizona also had a top 10 defense last year. How about you? Who's your top pick?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm not giving it till a little bit later on, but some of these things amaze me, and I don't understand them. But I'll talk about it a little bit later on the show. Real quick, too, I wanted to get your thoughts before I let you go on UNLV football. You talked about how you switched over to Idaho. If I would have bet the game, which I didn't, I would have taken Idaho as well. I would have definitely done it. I was kicking myself last week that I didn't take 45.5 points in Idaho and Howard, just thinking UNLV to beat anybody by 45 points would be ridiculous. If it was Gorman High School, I would have still been skeptical. So, you know, I'm amazed at that. But what do you think of UNLV 2017? You covered them last year, Do. Is this team going to be, you know, is this the spark that they needed to, avenge the Idaho loss, go there, beat them? Idaho's been playing pretty well, returning their running back, returning their quarterback. Surprised?
Yeah, I mean, well, Idaho is headed to the FCS next year. But like you said, they had been on an 8-0-1 run against the spread. They beat UNLV last year. They're at home. UNLV's coming off that terrible loss. And yes, I was surprised that UNLV's defense was able to shut down Idaho, because their defense has been terrible over the years. And they really didn't, you know, they lost a lot of key players from last year's team and without any, you know, real notable additions. But I just, you know, that game was what streamed on ESPN3. I just caught a replay of Amani Rodgers, you know, the new quarterback, firing a 94-yard bomb to Devontae Boyd. and he looked pretty good in that one. And if he's the real deal, I mean, they scored 34 a game last year with, you know, all their receivers out and using three different quarterbacks. And so with this kid in there, you know, I expect the offense to put up a ton of points and really to look to play the over in UNLV games. But, you know, they're at Ohio State in their next game. You know, obviously they'll fall to 1-2 there. So, I mean, the Howard game really cost them a lot, though, as far as their bowl aspirations. So we'll just have to see how they do in the Mountain West, which isn't that strong a conference again this year. So yeah, no, that's a huge win for UNLV. They had to have that win. That's huge. And they definitely have a chance to turn things around. But I just think they're going to have to win shootouts for sure because the defense is still pretty bad.
I would say you cannot judge that defense by what you saw yesterday against Idaho. Dude, I'll let you go. I will tell you, though, for your podcast, I'm going to agree with Matthew Holt when he was talking about the Jets, except I love the under 5 games this year. I don't see them. I've been saying 0-16, kind of joking around, because I want that dubious feat matched that the Lions had back in 2008. But I don't think they'll lose all 16 games, but I think the under the New York Jets, as far as futures go, to me, that's the best bet I've seen on the board right now. That team stinks.
Oh, man, they're definitely going to be the worst team in the league. And honestly, I was thinking about taking Buffalo, but Buffalo is in rebuild mode as well, and they don't have much on offense, so it's pretty tough to lay, you know, 9 points in that game.
I got the Jets in 9.5 on my parlay card. I actually took the Jets in that game and the points.
Yeah, right. That's a tough one. But I agree with you. You know, the Jets are going to be bad. They're just tank mode. Josh McCown, a 38-year-old journeyman who's 2-20 in his last 22 starts. When he's your starting quarterback, you're in trouble. The Jets, the total, that was at CG Technology. And then at the Westgate, it's open at 5, dropped to 3.5 season win totals, and the favorites on the under. So it's like a historic drop in win totals when they went into tank mode.
No, it should be. He is Todd Dewey, sports betting reporter, Las Vegas Review Journal. You can check out his articles there, and definitely check out the sports betting spotlight. You get to there by going to the reviewjournal.com and then click on betting, and you'll be able to get there. They're good stuff. Do appreciate you, man. Have a good day, and I can't say go Patriots. Maybe go Lions.
Well, good luck to you, brother.
I appreciate it.
I took the Cardinals, so you got a good shot.
But I'm liking it right now after the first game. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, have a good one.
We'll be right back with Mike Jones.
The third greatest Super Bowl play, Mike Jones, game-saving tackle.
Heap of ooze and fandom, and you couldn't believe what you just saw.
Brings it to the goal line. No, he falls at the one.
Mike Jones saving St. Louis, to me, that's the stuff of backyard dreams. That is a beautiful tackle, and he saved the day. That's the kind of thing that I always dreamed about as a kid.
And joining the show now is the guy that made that tackle. My friend, been on the show many times, Mike Jones. You know, I have to tell you, Mike, one of the most notorious plays in Super Bowl history, and there are those that say Kurt Warner might not have gotten the gold jacket if it wasn't for that tackle. Yet, you know, I watched the whole Hall of Fame inauguration speech. I didn't hear him mention you individually in his induction speech. Man, what's up with that?
You know what? That's Thursday, you know. I'm quite sure Kurt did a whole lot of things besides being part of the Super Bowl to be inducted to the Hall of Fame. So he's, you know, it's great that he got in. I say this all the time. We got one more guy, two guys, hopefully, Isaac Bruce and Torrey Hope, those guys, and then Adam Timmerman as well. I think those guys should be Hall of Famers, but without a doubt, Kurt deserved it. And, you know, my play, I hope I can say I helped him, but, you know, I think his play speaks for itself.
Well, there's no question about it. Kurt Warner was amazing. And listen, but I wanted to talk about that in a minute, but put it this way, it's game day of the first game of the season. How much did you sleep the night before, and what are you doing, and what is going through your head right now about 2.5 hours before kickoff?
Well, you know what, as you get older, it, you know, it's still exciting, but it's not, you know, your first game day, my rookie year, is, I mean, it's ironic. It was at the old Astrodome in Houston. And, you know, I kept hearing about, you know, the speed of the game and the excitement and all that, you know, and, you, and in that old Astrodome, you know, the Oilers were pretty good then. And, I mean, it was unbelievable. You know, the night before, you're right, you can't sleep. It's the first time, you know, my first game in the NFL as a rookie, you know, and it's a dream come true. So you're just so excited, you know, and it's hard to sleep, without a doubt. It's very hard to sleep.
I figured that. Okay, first game of the season. Don't lie. You're starting defensive linebacker. Are you hoping your team wins the toss and elects to take the ball, or are you hoping to be on the field first?
You know what? I always prefer to be on the field first because the hardest thing is sitting and watching. It's a whole lot easier when you're in the action where now after the first play, you run into someone or someone runs into you. Now all the jitters, excitement is gone. Now you're playing football. The hardest part is when you're sitting there on the sidelines watching and you're trying, you know, you can't really get the speed. Your anxiety is getting the best of you. So it's always a whole lot easier to me starting out, you know, first play, jumping out there and getting into it.
I can totally understand that. All right, we've talked a lot on the show the last few years, lots of Q&A sessions together. One thing I know I haven't asked you yet, when did you really know and believe that Kurt Warner and the 1999 Rams were something special and could actually go from 2-14 the year before to a Super Bowl victory? I mean, preseason 1999, the Rams were 250-1 odds to win the Super Bowl.
Well, I knew we were, and this is crazy. I thought we were going to be a playoff team, and I was telling people that, and they thought, you know, I was crazy because we won three games, not two. We got three in that year.
Oh, you did, My bad.
No problem.
Tony Banks and Kurt Warner were two different players, though.
Right, exactly. So we had picked up Adam Timmerman, which I thought was a great acquisition. And then we picked up Trent Green. And a lot of people don't realize when Trent came into training camp, Trent was on fire. Trent was like 30 or 32, 33, you know, like six touchdowns. I mean, Isaac Bruce was healthy. We had picked up a guy by the name of Marshall Faulk. Mm-hmm. So we felt pretty good that we were going to be good. Now, I won't sit there and say we thought we would win a Super Bowl, but I really felt that we had the makings of a playoff team. And, you know, when Trent goes down, I mean, it was just like, wow, man, we got everything in place, and then the guy that, you know, is going to lead us gets hurt, and then, you know, Coach Vermeil, and to his credit, if anyone says anything other than that, you know, I beg to differ. Coach Vermeil was the only guy that came up and said, you know what, we're going to win, we're going to play good football, we're going to win with Kurt Warner. You know, and everyone in that room, and I tell one of the stories, and everyone starts laughing. We're in our team meeting. So we're sitting there, and Kurt sits in the front row. He sat in the front row every year. So I sit literally right behind him. I sit in the front row, and Kurt sits right behind me. So, you know, when Coach said that, all of us kind of turned and looked at Kurt, you know, and he didn't have a deer in the headlights look, but he just didn't have to look like you look like you're real confident. So we just, you know, he just kind of shaking your head like, man, we in for a long season. And then, I mean, he comes out and then he plays exceptionally well. But see, Kurt, if you look at Kurt, when you watch him before a game, and he's a lot better now, but he never gives you the look like he's worried, and he never gives you looks like, you know, he's excited. So you don't know, he's lukewarm, and you can't tell if that's good or bad. But, you know, once the game starts, it's quite obvious it's quite good.
He's definitely a competitor. And, you know, I was actually, Mike, I was at the Pontiac Silverdome at the time working for the Detroit Lions radio network when the St. Louis Rams in the preseason came in the first game Kurt Warner ever started. I was there, and I saw him. He threw for like 126 yards. Anquan Boldin had a good game. And I thought, wait a minute, who is this guy? And we all, you know what, he's playing the Lions. He can't judge how good he is against the Lions. Boy, we should have taken bigger notice because that guy was ridiculous. Moving ahead to this year, the Patriots lost to what again appears to be a pretty good Kansas City team. You're in Missouri. You're not far from them. What teams do you think are the teams to beat in 2017? And is there a St. Louis Rams hiding out there somewhere?
there's always a St. Louis, you know, there's always a team that rises from, you know, not being very good to being a playoff contender. That, I mean, that's, I think that happens every year. But I think because of, you know, what we did, and then you think about the year before, the Falcons, and then some other teams as well, it's always, you're always going to have a team that, you know, that signs good free agents that and signs has a good draft. But the draft, you have to realize, it's a three-year process. So, and that's what happened with us. You know, we drafted Orlando, we drafted Coach Mill, did a phenomenal job of drafting guys. So what you need to look at is when you think you have a good draft pick, don't draft class. You got to sit about 3 years, 2 to 3 years. Now, the problem is, you know, coaches don't have shelf lives of 2 to 3 years. So, but Coach Ramil did a great job of doing that. Is there a team out there that I'm looking at saying, you know what, this could be a sleeper team? And I'll, honestly, I don't know. I haven't really been looking at it. But I know there's teams out there that can do it. I mean, the Patriots, you know, they slip up the first game. They're well coached. Kansas City Chiefs, well coached. If I was someone that's looking for a team that's gonna jump up on you, look at a team that's well coached. And what I mean by well coached, have great assistant coach. Your head coach is gonna be a good coach. They wouldn't name your head coach if you didn't think you were very good. It's those guys, the coordinators, the position coaches. When you constantly hear guys say, "Now this guy has put together a great staff." Well, if it truly is a great staff, you're going to see the results on the football field because everyone has good football players. The difference between good to average to bad teams is the coaching. And if you have great coaching, it's going to reveal itself.
You got a pick for this week, Mike? I don't know if you've looked at the paper. Do you see any games that you like this week?
You know what? I haven't. Like I say, when you're coaching high school football, Friday nights turn into Saturday mornings. And then, you know, and I mean, it's crazy because I was a college coach and now I'm a high school coach. And, you know, you got certain things you look at. You know, you got to look at the schedule of the kids. I got to find out when the ACT test or – so you're doing all this stuff. And then before you know it, I mean, it's the first week of the NFL season. We played four games already before the NFL plays one.
That's great. How's your team doing?
We're 500. We're 2-2.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it was a – barn burner Friday night. We won with about 50 seconds left. We won 28-24, and all our games been down to the wire. So, you know, we play Friday night. So, you know, your Friday night lasts till 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning watching film, and you bring the kids in the next morning to work out. So it makes for a long day, but it's been really good at St. Louis University High School.
I'm happy for you, my friend. Mike Jones, former NFL linebacker and Super Bowl 34 hero. Mike, God willing, we'll have you out here for the Super Bowl in February 2018. We're working on it, and it's always great to talking to you, my friend.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys. You know, it's getting exciting. The Raiders are going to be there, what, in
2020?
Yep. It's going to be right around the corner, you know, and
one of your alma maters, so you'll be out. You'll have to come out in Vegas and see him.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I cut my teeth. You know, I played longer with the Raiders. A lot of people don't realize I played longer with the Raiders than anywhere else in my career. So, you know, it's a great organization. You know, Mark has done a good job, you know, getting the team back to where it's supposed to be. And hopefully this year will be another great year for the Raiders.
We're hoping so too. The Raiders have become my second favorite team. I can't, you know, I'm a masochist. I can't get away from the Detroit Lions. I lived there for 42 years, man. I'm stuck. Yeah. And then we go and make Matthew Stafford the highest paid player in the NFL. I sure hope he can take us to the promised land with all that money. Mike,
yeah, well, I hope so too.
Hey, we appreciate you, my friend, and we will be talking in the very near future.
All right, thank you.
Absolutely. Mike Jones, Mags, it's time to do our blazing. I'll tell you right now, Blazin' for Me is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. And there's no question for me, Blazin'. I got to give an honorable mention to the Cleveland Indians. 17 straight wins right now going into today's game. That's pretty blazing, but you know what? How about Lexington Thomas, Mags? Was this guy blazing yesterday in Idaho or what?
Lining up just wide of the line on 1st and 10. Lexington Thomas finds a hole. 45-50, 45-40, right sideline. He's going to go. 20-10, touchdown Rebels. Lexington Thomas with 55 yards, an electrifying run, but a young man from Texas. Thomas goes up the middle. Lexington Thomas surges forward. He is in for a touchdown, a UNLV touchdown. The second touchdown of the game for Lexington Thomas, who just broke one from 60. Now he plunges in from one, and the Rebels take a 23-3 lead on third and a yard from the 38. Lexington Thomas has a hole. He's at the 50. He's gone, baby. 30, 20, 10. Lexington Thomas with his third touchdown run of the game. And the Rebels extend their lead to 33-10.
Wow. 190 yards. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, I said he had one touchdown. You know what? That's Lexington Thomas's ninth 100-yard game as a Rebel, and he's only started 10 games.
I know, Megs. He is the real deal. I said it before. He's a great little scat back. I knew he'd end up being the starting running back for the Rebels.
Well, no Charles Williams yesterday, so he had to carry a bigger load. But, man.
He needs to carry the bigger load.
I was a big fan of his last year. Lex Thomas, I'm telling you, UNLV has had some pretty good running backs through the years. In the 20 years I've been here, I think he's the best of the bunch.
You know what he reminds me of? A poor man's Warwick Dunn.
Yeah, I think that's a really good comparison. I wouldn't even say poor man's. He does remind
me. Well, because we're playing at this level. Dunn played at Florida State.
Yeah,
and we're playing UNLV, so I got to say poor man's till he plays with the big. Let's see what he does against Ohio State, and then I'll answer some more questions.
Well, that'll be the real test, but I think going forward, that 1-2 combo of Lex Thomas and Charles Williams, I don't think there's a team in the Mountain West that has a better running back core.
Not going to disagree with you.
I said it yesterday, and I stand by it. UNLV's skill position on offense.
It's as good as anybody in the Mountain West.
I mean, the kid at Wyoming, he's the best quarterback in the conference. There's no doubt about that. But you know what? In 2 weeks, I've seen a lot out of Armani Rogers to make me think he's a pretty good quarterback. Running backs are really good.
You think in 3 years, Armani Rogers can't be as good as the kid in Wyoming?
Oh, I think Armani Rogers could be better. I think he could be better. Yeah.
I do too. Who's Blazing Megs?
Well, I'm going to go with the Cleveland Indians.
I said them.
Well, you stole it from me. But 17 straight. I don't know how. I mean, the D-backs were playing well. They had won 13 straight. They've unfortunately lost two in a row. But, man, the Cleveland Indians have won 17 games in a row. Think about that.
Kluber's going to win the Cy Young in the American League, right?
I think so. He's Kluber. Kluber's the best pitcher in the American League.
I agree 100%.
You know what? The Indians are getting hot at the right time. I think they've got the best manager in the American League. And they now have the best record in the American League. They're actually tied with the Astros. I just don't want to see the Yankees or the Red Sox in the World Series. I don't care. Give me Cleveland. Give me Houston. Give me the how about the Minnesota Twins? The freaking Twins are in the wild card right now. That's unbelievable.
It is crazy. It is crazy.
My Blazing Cleveland Indians, I don't know how you go against them.
You can't. Blazing brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Two happy hours every day, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. Starting tomorrow night, I will be there every Monday for the next 17 weeks for Monday night football parties, and make sure you come on down and check it out tomorrow night. We're going to go ahead right now. We'll take a caller. 876-1340, a wing party for six at Buffalo Wild Wings. Come on down and see me. This is Out of Line. I want to thank Mike Jones. I want to thank Todd Dewey. I want to thank producer Magnum, Lee Lund. I apologize we didn't get to you, but I'll text you anyways. I probably got her up early for nothing today. This is Out of Line. We are here on Fox Sports Radio every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. This is the home of the Vegas Golden Knights, 98.9 FM, 1340 a.m. Check us out next week. If you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't like the show, tell your friends anyways. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for your understanding. And I want to thank the crowd tonight, all the people of Las Vegas who were